Okay, we still need to do some praying. The war's not won, just a battle or two, three or four. But I have a revelation here from David Dengler. It was given to David Dengler on January the 7th, and it's very good. It's an exhortation for us to pray so that we win the war, not just the particular battle, right? And we call this man-child reformers, moving and removing enemies. And David said, I had a dream this morning that was just chocked full of symbols and numbery goodness with the way Father has been giving dreams and confirmations so quickly now. I thought it prudent to get it to you right away. Well, amen. And it just so happens when I grabbed it up, started looking at it, I believed it fit very good with a couple of other revelations, which is kind of the way it usually works. And so let me share it with you. He said, I was inside the cab of a box moving truck, and I believe, with the foreknowledge of the rest of the dream, that this is representing David. The David man-child reformers are moving their spiritual families. And, you know, that's going to be so to the end. It was very dusty inside the cab, which, as you know, controls the direction and the speed and all these things of the box. It was very dusty inside the cab, so I was sweeping it with a small shop vacuum. The cab was filled with people, as though they were standing in a room. These are people that are, in most cases, usurping authority over God's people. They're in the cab, right? My elder daughter, Vanessa, who is 13 years old, was with me helping to clean the inside of the truck. Though the cab was small and filled with people, the space didn't feel cramped. I could move about easily. You can do that in a dream, right? I started sweeping the passenger's side first, working my way towards the driver's side. As I approached the driver's side, I told my daughter to take the keys out of the ignition and lay them on the dash. And this just means that the others have no key of David to drive this moving van. Right? David Dengler represents David here. When I completed sweeping the driver's side, in other words, getting the dirt out of the cab, which controls the rest of the congregation, when I looked up, no one was inside the truck, and I was alone. Well, that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Only David Manchild was in the driver's position. All others are cleaned out. Kind of reminds you of the Saul situation. He died, David took over, right? So when David took over from Saul, it was when his people realized that he was dead. Now, I don't mean physically dead, I mean spiritually dead. People are going to realize that when they see the powers of the age to come moving in very quickly here. A common realization that people are going to have in these days. Luke 2 and 34. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which is spoken against. Cleaning house of the leadership, right? Man-child has always been spoken against, a sign which is spoken against, and the heads of the houses reject him. as it was with Joseph's brothers. These were the patriarchs, right? They were the heads of those houses. And they rejected him, sold him into bondage. Matthew 21 and 42, Jesus saith unto them, did you never read in the scriptures the stone which the builders rejected? The same was made the head of the corner. This was from the Lord, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Well, now they have rejected and crucified the man-child, but he's going to be their head, just as this prophecy predicts. Because history always repeats, and Jesus came in a body of the Son of David, and he's coming again in a body of the Son of David, spiritually speaking, not physical names, you know, but spiritually speaking. But he does use physical names to in parables to point out who he's talking about, right? So after that, David said, immediately there was a scene change. In other words, as soon as the leadership changed, there was a scene change. And I was driving the truck alone on the highway. And I was taking a long, sweeping left turn. I crossed the state line, entering Virginia. Well, entering virgin territory for the Davids, this is their new work and their new anointing. And it's going to be quite a change for the people of God. It's virgin territory, right? I believe that I was coming from Pennsylvania. Well, Pennsylvania means Penn's Woods. And the thought came to me that this is speaking about the Davids coming out of their wilderness to rule the kingdom. Actually, they're just a vessel to rule the kingdom, because Jesus is coming in them by His Word and by His Spirit, by that anointing. So, he said, I believe I was coming from Pennsylvania, but I can't be sure, and I know these two states don't touch. I know I saw the Welcome to Virginia sign, and then shortly later, another sign with three cities and the mileage to them listed. And he sent pictures of what he saw, actual pictures of what he saw in his dream, because it was real. You know, I could only remember the first city, Winchester. So here he is entering into this virgin territory. The first city is Winchester. Winchester is known as the gun that won the West. Could it be that as soon as the Man-Child Company is anointed to do its new job, that he will have authority to conquer the Western nations first? I believe we're actually seeing signs of that now, don't you? Yes, it's happening. But there is an enemy that is attempting to take out the new leadership that God is going to put in, whether they know it or not, is going to put in to bring this to pass. Okay? There was snow on the ground, but the road was dry. And David put there a question mark timing. And yeah, it would obviously be winter, you know. So it could be very quickly. David said, I wanted to be sure of my direction, so I attached my iPhone to the front window of the truck with a suction cup and was planning to turn on the GPS. But right before I could turn on the navigation, I received a Skype call from my in-laws who live in Russia. So he was about to get direction from the stars, from the heavens, I should say, And he got this call from Russia. Now, this too could be a timing, I'm guessing, but, you know, Russia is being friendly to Trump. They are realizing that America is not their enemy. This administration is their enemy. And the people behind them who want a war in order to stay in power. Now, Russia has offered to join with the Trump administration to take down what has been proven over and over to be Obama's troops. That's ISIS. He started them, funded them, and has protected them. Okay. So, and that's the end of the dream. Now, David said, "When I finished writing the dream, I was led to look at a map to see where the closest point is between Pennsylvania and Virginia. About mid-state Pennsylvania, on Interstate 70, and he puts 7 equals perfection and 10 completion, and God's law. And I might add that this is manifested in the man-child, David's, as it was with Moses, who had the 10 commandments on the 2 tables, which was the word actually is witnesses. Interesting. Jesus sent out his word through his 2 witnesses who went out 2 by 2. And he was the man-child. So this is very interesting. So on Interstate 70, traveling north to south, is where Maryland is at its thinnest. In other words, there's just a little tiny piece of land between Pennsylvania and Virginia there. Hancock, as in John Hancock, the first signer of the Declaration of Independence, is the nearest town. And maybe this speaks to the authority behind the declaration of the man-child's independence from his motherland of Babylon. And that is God. God is the authority. Okay. John Hancock signed his authority on that Declaration of Independence. And I might say too that you remember when Joseph came out of prison, his independence was declared, right? Interstate 70 is joined by Interstate 68 and US Route 40. And 40 equals tribulation. Just after crossing into Maryland, the thinnest part of Maryland is only 1.8 miles wide between Pennsylvania to West Virginia. These lines are also the Mason-Dixon line to the north and the Potomac River to the south. That's interesting. The man-child David's will intervene in the political, I would call it uncivil war, that's going on, the Mason-Dixon line, right? And Daniel, the man-child, read the writing on the wall to the king of Babylon before Cyrus took him out. The Potomac goes to Washington, D.C., but the White House, you know, and the seat of government. So that's very interesting. You know, that's kind of tying a bunch of things together there that we know is going to happen already. And this is just a confirmation. You can't think all this out in a dream, can you? No. And he says, David says, the Mason-Dixon line is the separation line of the Union states to the north during the Civil War. And Maryland and West Virginia were considered border states, while Virginia was part of the Confederate states to the south. So we're in a Civil War right now. It's a war of words. It's a war of anything that the enemy can do to try to break the law and get his way and stay in office, right? Anything, anything. And if 1.8 miles represents a biblical address, it would be Genesis 8 and 1. And, you know, after looking at the interpretation here in Genesis 8 and 1, I got to agree. And God remembered Noah. Well, kind of like he remembered Joseph and delivered him from prison. Noah, like the man-child, is the spiritual father of those in the ark. In this case, the moving van. and all the beasts and all the cattle that were with him in the ark. Well, we know from Peter's dream that all the beasts represented the church. And particularly the Gentile church, because he went to preach to them and God gave him that vision out of heaven with the sheet coming down, all the animals on it, right? That's what they represented on the ark. And it goes on to say, and God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. That means they went away. And, of course, I believe that this might be speaking about removing the enemy who came in like a flood to D.C. and those underneath them. Removing the enemy. And verse 2 was, the fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. And the waters, in other words, all of this curse that was coming against God's people, that's been coming against us here in America and in Europe and so on and so forth, especially the West, all this very liberal stupidity. And, you know, things like, yeah, we got to make war with Russia because they really had nothing to do with hacking, according to Assange, who was the guy that received the witnesses himself. They actually killed Seth Rich because he was in the DNC and he ratted on them. So, I mean, all the witnesses, they got no witnesses and no proof. They're not offering any proof. They just want you to believe them. That yes, their intelligence agencies believe that. I don't believe a word of it. Don't believe anything. You know, the Muslims believe in lying. They believe in lying. It's part of their doctrine. You don't believe a word of it. They're trying to make the war. They're kind of blank. First of all, who cares who did the hacking? What we care about is the evidence that was found. Right? The evidence. Let's talk about the evidence. No, we want to kill the witnesses. And if it's Russia, we want to kill Russia. Well, I congratulate Russia if they had anything to do with this just by showing the criminal activity in our government. It's a wonderful thing that they did. But I don't believe a word of it that they had anything to do with this. So, let's go on. So the Lord is saying he's going to restrain all of that that brought this flood upon the earth. And the waters returned from off of the earth continually. Oh, praise God. Yeah. I believe Mr. Trump is going to have a lot to do with that. And after the end of 150 days, the waters decreased. And the ark rested in the seventh month, which is the number of perfection or maturity, in this case of time. And it's a perfect time. God does everything in the perfect time. And on the 17th day of the month, another time, 17th day of the month, well, this dream was given on 7/17. That's a pretty neat confirmation, right? Seventh month, 17th. So anyway, Joseph, the man-child, was 17 when he had the dream of his brothers bowing down to him. They were jealous of him. They hated him. They sold him into bondage, as was done to Jesus, by the way. And he was the man-child in his day. And this all came to pass when he became the second ruler in the kingdom, second only to the king. Once again, history is about to repeat. 17 is a number that means preservation through evil. Now, God has preserved his Josephs. He's preserved his man-child through all of the evil that has come against them. If the man-child's about to come, and that's the clearest thing in the dreams and visions and revelations there ever is, then whoever he is, he's been persecuted and hated and spoken against, and so on and so forth, and sold into bondage, and falsely accused, like Joseph. So the ark rested, as we read, and then it says, upon the mountains of Ararat. Now, it was from here that a new generation of people covered the earth. Interesting. The new generation of people, of course, are going to come from that man-child Noah, who speaks the word just like Jesus did and raised up many disciples to go out and begin Christianity to go around the earth. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, were the tops of the mountains seen. So these mountains now were baptized. There was a putting to death of the wickedness that was on these mountains, I would say. Mountains represent kingdoms, right? New kingdoms of the world are seen after a flood of judgment before the tribulation. Okay. This revival of the nations that are going to be that agreeable factor with the man-child. Much like Joseph had that agreement from Pharaoh, Daniel from the king of Babylon, so on and so forth. So the man-child, in whom the Lord lives by his word and spirit, will overthrow the throne of kingdoms, as Haggai 2:20 on down speaks about. And the word of the Lord came the second time unto Haggai in the 24th day of the month, saying, speak to Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel means born from Babylon. And he was a first fruits, born from Babylon. A type of the man-child, right? Governor of Judah. You know, as it was with David. David, of course, represents the man-child in his day, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth. Well, now, we can see the spiritual shaking, and we're expecting a physical shaking, too. Okay? The great earthquakes that are going to go around the world, and they're going to be in the U.S., these great earthquakes, because they are attempting on the 15th to hammer out a deal to take away Israel's land for a Palestinian state. And if they're successful, this will be the time of the great earthquakes, because God has said over and over, even in Joel 3:3, I believe it is, that the people who take Israel's land, the people that divide Israel's land, their land will be divided. He will recompense them quickly. Okay. And God has spoken that through different prophecies down through the years, and I believe it. I will shake the heavens and the earth, and I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms. There it is. And, you know, I think we're actually seeing some of that now. Although Trump's not fully in there, and other world leaders, too, are in Europe and places, are the liberals are getting out of the way, and more to come, so on and so forth. So, and overthrow the... this just seems to say we're very close. This is an amazing thing that's happening out there, very unusual and very fitting to this parable. So many more world leaders, I believe, will fall. Some of it because of those earthquakes that go around the globe. And I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the nations. And I will overthrow the chariots. Okay, that kind of lets you know the timing of this, because at the end of their time in Egypt, they came out, they went to the Red Sea, the chariots were chasing them then. When they crossed the Red Sea, they were into the wilderness, which the Bible says is the tribulation. So these things are happening up to that time and also in that time. Okay? I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them, and the horses and their riders shall come down, every one, by the sword of his brother. So the Lord is going to divide the enemy. And I say he's going to do this in the faction that's in the church and in the faction that's in the world. Pharaoh and his army, chasing the people of God, will die in the flood of tsunamis, so on and so forth. Whether that's spiritual or physical doesn't make any difference. If Obama gets saved, praise God. He still died, didn't he? Yeah, because you have to die to get saved, right? This is just before the wilderness tribulation. So, in that day, that is just before the wilderness tribulation, in that day, says the Lord, I will take thee, O Zerubbabel, kind of like Moses, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, says the Lord, and will make thee as a signet. For a signet means a sign, right? For I have chosen thee, says the Lord of hosts. Yes, he has chosen a man-child. And this is a sign. And in that day means, of course, the crossing of the Red Sea. And as you know, Moses was there anointed at the Red Sea because he was baptized in the cloud and in the sea with the rest of the disciples, wasn't he? Yeah, baptized in the cloud and in the sea. So he was anointed there. Oh, praise the Lord. And I might say a lot of people who haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit yet, according to the former reign, will receive that. That's my opinion in this revival that's coming. And, of course, the man-child is going to have the latter reign first for 3.5 years like Jesus did before that is poured out on the disciples too. Okay, Jesus was the only one to have the former reign for 3.5 years, and then he poured it out. Okay, now the man-child is going to be the only one to have the latter reign in like manner, just repeating history. You're going to have the latter reign for 3.5 years and then poured out on the disciples. Okay, so remember, you know, everything in the Gospels and in the book of Acts is a prophecy of the end time, except the cast of characters is going to be multiplied many times over. Right? That's what the Lord told me years ago. So, wow, has that revelation ever borne fruit ever since? Things just keep coming to me, you know. Understandings keep coming to me. It opened up a whole new world of prophecy to a lot of people, because a lot of people don't know that the New Testament is a prophecy of the end times, because history always repeats. So it just opens a whole new world of prophecy for us. And David said, to continue the shortest route to Virginia, I would have transitioned onto U.S. 522, which goes through Hancock. There's the Hancock again. In Hancock, there is a road, of course, called Main Street. It is part of a larger road known as National Pike. It is numbered, you guessed it, MD for Maryland, 144. An MD 144 had seven disjoint sections. Okay, well, just for a second, the David Manchild are the 144,000 first fruits to raise up the church. In Revelation 14 and 4, it speaks of the Manchild. And Revelation 12 also speaks of the Manchild. And the Manchild is this group of people that covers the earth. Because now the church is the earth. In Jesus' day, the church was Israel. So there's a big explosion here of the size of the group of people we're talking about. So, as you can imagine, God needs a multiplicity of man-childs. If Jesus went to little Israel, he needs a lot of people to go to the rest of the world, right? And that's what the 144, those first fruits, they were called in 144, and Jesus also was called the first fruits. Okay, so lots of ways the Lord is identifying his man-child in these days. These people have to be respected because Jesus said that he was coming again. Way after he was born, 30 plus years after he was born, he said he was coming again as a little baby boy born to a woman in John. So, when you look all the way through the Bible, from John 16, you come to the woman and man-child of Revelation 12, which cannot be Jesus, by the way, because at the very beginning of the Revelation, John was said, "Come up hither, I will show you the things which are to come to pass hereafter." Wow, now that was a lot of years after Jesus and Mary. And that's because history always repeats, and that revelation right there is going to come again. All right? Interestingly, David says, the thinnest part of Maryland is also very close to the thinnest part of West Virginia. U.S. 522 in West Virginia is 19 miles long. 19 equals Genesis, first book, ninth chapter. 1:9. The flood / tribulation is over and the rainbow covenant is given. Amen. So we're looking at a flood that's happening on this end of the tribulation. We know there's one on the other end of the tribulation. But we also know that the man-child is going through his wilderness now, and the church is going through their wilderness later. This is at the end of the man-child's wilderness, which would bring a flood. And, of course, at the end of the church's wilderness or tribulation, there's another flood. So history is repeating. Everybody's got to go through the flood. Okay. I hope I explained the parallel there. That's why we're seeing the flood here and the flood over there. The flood over there is going to cover the globe, and this flood is minimal compared to that one. Although it will take out a lot of bad leadership and so on. So, at that time, of course, at this time that he's speaking about, God blessed them and told them to multiply. Well, now, where are they going to multiply? Well, he said to fill the earth with this new creation man, right? Born after the image of the last Adam, not the first Adam. Wow. So what does this mean? It means evangelize the world. This is when the Bible says the gospel is going to be preached to the world. So here you go. The people in this ark are about to send forth all over the world to bring people into the kingdom, to be part of that new creation man, Jesus Christ. And also the Noah man-child cursed the fruit of Ham. Ham means dark or swarthy. Some people have used that in the letter to speak against the black people, which is no, it's false. Because we take the letter and we translate it into spirit, right? Also, Noah, the man-child, cursed the fruit of Ham, which is the spiritually dark one, right? So that was what happened in that chapter. And David said, I felt I should take a look at Google Street View as I have never been on these roads. I was surprised to see that it was a match to my dream. Crossing from Pennsylvania into Maryland is a long sweeping left turn that I clearly remember from the dream. And he mentioned it earlier, right? Later, just after crossing into Virginia, I saw the sign I saw in my dream. In other words, traveling Google Street View, he saw the sign he saw in his dream. And he's got it pictured here. Winchester 22, Front Royal 41, Culpeper 89. There's the picture. Pretty neat, I think. Lord really confirmed that dream, didn't he? Now David, he helps the ministry all the time because we get overflows of dreams that people want. And David has translated quite a few of them and given them to you folks. He's been a big help, and we appreciate him very much. But he has really good dreams of his own, as you can see. Right? That's a good one. I like that. Amen. So, let me say this. What we have learned from biblical types is that cooperative government heads will arise with the man-child ministry, as it was with Joseph. Remember, Joseph had Pharaoh, who was very impressed with him and made him the second ruler in the kingdom. And Daniel, same thing happened to him, you know. And as you know, Cyrus, of course, Daniel was there to tell the king of Babylon that his end had come. Your end has come, king of Babylon, because this night you're going to die. And Cyrus, of course, was given the kingdom. And, of course, that is the man-child's cooperative government in our day, I believe, because we believe that Trump was typed by Cyrus, who conquered the king of Babylon, the U.S., and was a champion of God's people and cooperated to build the kingdom of God, sent them back, gave them supplies, gave them money, you know, whatever they needed to rebuild the kingdom, right? Which had been torn down by the king of Babylon. So, in case you wonder what's been happening for these years. So, through our prayers and spiritual warfare, the king of Babylon has been bound in our day as it was in that day. There wasn't anything he could do. He couldn't even stop the enemy from entering his city. Cyrus's troops invaded the city, found the gates and bars wide open, because God said in his word that he would do that. And so Cyrus saw all that. I mean, from what I understand, the high priest brought that out and showed it to him, and he was totally impressed. with his name in the scriptures hundreds of years before he existed, and the very fact that God had opened the bars and gates and let him into the city without a war. You think that would impress somebody? I'd say so. Cyrus was anointed by God to conquer him. So, now, God has a method to bring things to pass. He tells you ahead of time what he's going to do. But there's always a method. I mean, Cyrus's troops went out there and conquered them until they got to Babylon, and then they walked right on in the city. There was a method to bring this to pass. So what is our job? As you might say, in a way, in the world, we're Cyrus's troops, but in the kingdom, we're the man-child's troops, right? And that's kind of interesting. But our job is to cast down this evil administration and every effort to overthrow Trump. And they've tried everything, and they're not through. Where we will be successful, but we must fight in the Spirit until this is done. And every time we find the Lord giving us a warning of the enemy's plans, we need to take that seriously. I mean, we're his troops. Right? Psalm 149:6-9 says this: Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the nations, and punishments upon the peoples, especially them old left-wing people that are totally nuts. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. Their kings with chains. To execute upon them the judgment written. So this judgment is written in the types of Cyrus and the king of Babylon. It's already written there what's going to happen. You just got to figure out who's who, right? And so somewhere along the line, God gives people revelations of who's who. It was amazing. The Lord led me right to a dream today where Obama was chained to the ground and couldn't move because of the prayers of the saints. And it was said there, by the way, that the battle is not over yet. We must fight on. So please, don't be at ease when you get through listening to this. Start fighting. Start casting down. Take this seriously. You might take this text of these dreams and pray this thing. The Lord will show you what to pray. The Lord has decided to use His people as His warriors to conquer this world, because it was His people that gave this world over to the devil in the first place. And the Lord has decided that He's going to use His people to take it back. Okay, the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ. The Scripture tells us He took it back. And to execute upon them the judgment written, it says, This honor have all His saints. Praise ye the Lord. So, when you hear this, start fighting. Cast down the works of the enemy. Every time you hear about it, every time you get a warning in a dream about what he's going to do, don't say, oh, well, it's going to happen. No, that's not what you're supposed to do. When you get a warning that's contrary to what the Lord has shown you, then you come against that as an act of the enemy. You cast it down, right? This honor have all His saints. Praise ye the Lord. Many dreams and visions are not prophesying what will come, but are warnings of what will come if we do not act in repentance and exercise authority against it. Did you hear that? A lot of dreams and visions and even prophecies are not prophesying the future, but are warning us of what's going to come if we don't act in repentance and exercise the authority he gave us to bind their kings with chains. So, I mean, if you just don't pay any attention to it, and you hold to the first revelations that you get, you remember how that we had revelations of what Mr. Obama's plan was to use ISIS in this country to overthrow this country and give it to Islam. Like he did all across the Middle East, by the way. It's not like we don't have a precedent there. And then God gave us this promise that if we would pray, he would put this man in and turn things around and give us what I believe is 3.5 years of relative peace to have a revival and get the church ready for the second 3.5 years of the tribulation, where they're going to be persecuted, just like the man-child was. See, through much tribulation shall you enter the kingdom. We can't get out of tribulation. But there's a lot of physical things that happen in the first part of the tribulation. Natural things, people would call them, but they're acts of God. Judgments upon this earth that we'll still have to practice our authority to escape. And we'll have to be prayed up to escape, right? So, please take this seriously. We're not through battling here. We need to continue. Now, okay, this is a revelation that was given to Pamela Orr yesterday, and she called it a shocking attempt against POTUS Trump. That's President-elect of the United States, Trump. You're used to hearing the initials POTUS, but this is POTUS Trump. That's what she named it. Pretty neat, I think. Anyway, she said, I got a recurring picture in the night and then heard recurring words about President-elect Trump. I believe that Father God wants us to pray against an assassination attempt. Yep. You know, every time they attempt and they fail because the people of God have prayed, we're that much closer to the inauguration. Praise God. And yes, we have had quite a few of these warnings. Remember, the reigning King Herod tried to kill Jesus because he believed that he was afraid that he would take his place, right? Because of the prophecies of the coming king, right? Then Pamela goes on to say, the first thing I saw was a heavy pair of black rubber boots that had some neon green on them. The green represents life. These boots were like what firemen and electrical linemen might wear. Yes, I'm very familiar with those boots. As a matter of fact, I was a fireman, an industrial fireman, but we also studied municipal firemen. I went many years to Texas A&M University, which has a fire training school, and also LSU University, where they have a fire school. Exxon sent me there to train me to fight fires. Beside that, I was a supervisor, and before that, I was a machinist, and during those days, I was in the fire team. If they had a fire, I went to it, and I wore those boots. We all wore those boots, and I have actually waded in burning crude flames licking up underneath my bunker coat, underneath my face shield, and you know what? My feet, my legs, under those boots, there was no problem. That was the most protected part of my body. Now, I've seen men that were in line with me on a 2.5-inch hose when this flame... Actually, we were walking through a lake of burning crude, and we had laid down a foam blanket so we could walk across this and wet down or drown the pipes overhead to keep them from melting and dropping more crude. And so that's what we were doing when one of the guys that was supposed to be protecting us off on the side swung his hose around and washed away our foam blanket. So the fire was all over us. There was like, I think in the beginning there were six of us on a 2.5-inch line, and it takes quite a few people to hold a 2.5-inch line. The normal small line is 1.5 inches. Those big ones have a lot of pressure, and because you have to shoot it a lot farther. So I was right behind the first guy in line. And when the foam blanket washed away, this flame was all up on us. I mean, it was all over us. And you just can't stand in the middle of a flame very long like that without God's help. The guy in front of me, his face shield melted right off his face. And he took off running. And you can't run through burning crude either, because every step you put oxygen down in it and it just boils up. It just flames up because the oxygen is now being forced down into this burning crude, and every droplet is on fire, and it's just flaming up, you know. You make it worse. But it's very hard to walk slowly out of burning crude. So he ran out, and I was right behind him. I stepped forward and grabbed the nozzle, and you know, I was standing right in the middle of burning crude, and the Lord was protecting me because I felt it coming up underneath my bunker coat. I felt it coming up behind my shield. My shield kept its position and everything. Then the people behind me started, you know, taking off running too. And before you know it, the guy on the pumper back there, you know, the fire engine, the pumper, he had to throttle back because one guy can't hold a 2.5-inch hose. Too much pressure, it'll just drag you backwards, you know. So they throttled it back, and I stood out there, and I stayed there for a while, and it was a very amazing demonstration of God, because I was the only one that stood there, and I was still in the burning crude, and I wasn't being harmed. And after a few minutes of this, and me feeling just a warmth, that's all, just a warmth, I started to shut my nozzle off. You know, it's a pull-back nozzle. And I started to shut my nozzle off, and it wouldn't turn off. It had rocks in it. Rocks come through the lines, from the lines, whenever they put in the lines, there can be rocks in it or whatever. You know, it had rocks in it, it wouldn't turn off. So I, you know, shook it around and jerked it and tried to get it the best I could. You can't just lay down a 2.5-inch line in a burning crude. What it does, it takes off backwards like a rocket, and it throws everything behind you all over you. So you don't just lay it down and run. So the Lord was just having me continue to demonstrate in front of all these firemen that were there looking at me, wondering what in the world is he doing still out there. It was just God. And so when I finally got it down to where it was just barely spraying out of there just a little bit, I laid it down calmly and I just walked out calmly. So I walked past these guys and they were looking at me like, "Who in the heck are you?" So it was amazing. It was just amazing. And of course, I had quite a few comments from people and questions from people and things like that afterwards. And I got to witness to some people, so that was all neat. And by the way, some of those guys were in the hospital, burnt. And there wasn't a burn on me, not one. And I stayed out there a lot longer than any of them. That's just God. It's just God. He's just an awesome God. And so these boots, like I said, the most protected part of me, I never even felt anything, was my legs and my feet in the boots. And this is why we need to pray for Trump, that he has the magnificent protection of God all over him. How cool can you get? I'm glad she brought this up. It just gave me an opportunity to share that with you anyway. She said, after I would see the boots, I would mostly hear, they'll try to take him, Donald Trump, out in the shower. That's what she heard. They'll try to take him, Donald Trump, out in the shower. I didn't see much, except there was no one around with a gun or a knife, you know. When I woke up, I wrote these things down, and Father put on my heart that they were connected to one another. I asked him for a word about these night clues, and my pencil landed on the word delivered. Well, I suppose you could take that one way. That is that God will deliver Trump through our prayers. I don't think the word provided was a prophecy, but rather a scripture that was a tip-off warning to what was being planned. It was Mark 9 and 31. The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. So that's the warning. Do you take that as a prophecy? No, you don't. Listen, folks, I've had a lot of people in dreams, had dreams about me being assassinated. Do I just accept, what God will do, God will do. No, it's a warning. It's a warning for you to pray against it. You know? So there's been a lot of these, especially recently. And of course, I have been assassinated by the faction. They have assassinated my character. And, I've done nothing but good to them, but they've turned everything into evil because they're demon-possessed. And so Mark 9:31 is a warning that men will try to kill him. And this is Pamela's summary and prayer. She said, I think the rubber boots represent being saved or delivered from an evil attempt to use electric or microwave technology against President-elect Trump to make it look like he died of a heart attack. Now, she has pretty good spiritual intuition, you know. I've read stories of these people who work for the government, black ops people, who pull up outside somebody that they want to assassinate with a microwave dish on the top of their van, and they sit in there and look at this person through the walls of their house, and they focus it on them, and they fry something in them. They can take out your heart or fry parts of your body, like the guy that was the head of NASA who was going to give a big revelation on Planet X and suddenly came down with throat cancer. Other people also have died like that. So it's something they can do to cause a heart attack. They can cause throat cancer. They can cause other cancers. They can do something that'll take you out. And these people have murdered so many people. Another person is nothing to them. They murdered whole countries in the Middle East. And anybody that rises up against them with any evidence, like Seth Rich, they kill him too. So killing people is nothing for them. It's just nothing. You see whose hands we're in here, you know. We're in the hands of God, but these are the people that are ruling the country at the moment, and they do definitely want to take this man out because he is very anti-one world order. So they can microwave you through your house or a building and take out your heart and make it look like cancer. And by the way, they control the people who do the autopsies. We've heard stories about that too, with the Clintons. They can bribe, or they can threaten to take out your family. They can turn people's hearts. They've turned Supreme Court leaders' hearts by doing this. And she goes on to say, the boots could even represent our prayers, since the prayers Father gives us to pray to bring life and salvation, or to bring life and salvation. And then she offers a prayer here, which we can add our faith to, right? Father, we thank you for tipping us off to this attempt to bring evil and chaos. We stand against it. In Christ, we rebuke the enemy that would try this thing. We cast down every evil plot that is along these lines. We speak vigilance to President-elect Trump's human protectors. We command angelic protectors to wing their way over to him and also be vigilant. We cast down any corruption or infiltration of murderous elements around the president-elect. We thank you for the words, the many words you've given us about a time of revival for your elect. We receive in faith and believe that Donald Trump will live and thrive to lead this country during your chosen time. Okay, so let's just agree with that, right? In the name of Jesus, we cast down this attempt and every other attempt to kill him, like I'm going to share with you now, another one. And this was given to us on the 6th, so you can see that how God just does this. You know, he gives us things that agree with one another all at the same time. They all come in. And we just see that God's putting together a wonderful story, you know. And this is all about delaying and taking down Trump. Delaying. I'm talking about delaying this inauguration, you know, keeping the authority for longer than it's supposed to happen. And this was given to Matthew Stewart, who also has good dreams. And it was on the 6th, January the 6th. In a dream, Anna, that's his wife, and I were here in Tennessee and fellowshipping with the brethren. And then Anna and I went to visit my parents in Washington. And while we were there, I picked up some more things of ours that we left behind because we left in a hurry. And when I tried to get to my stuff in my old room, I saw it was now full of my mom's stuff. And I couldn't get to my stuff. So I decided to leave that stuff there and not mess with it. And this time was around my birthday. My actual birthday is in September, and my spiritual birthday is in May to June. So that would be at least next September that they had gone out of town and so on. Next September, that's a long delay, right? Or it could be May or June. It could be a spiritual birthday. So he actually came down here on his physical birthday. So that could be, you know, a double revelation there, so I don't know. This would, of course, delay Donald Trump from taking office all the way up, most likely, to September, while he's trying to wipe him out, trying to come up with different ways of keeping the office, even though everybody is going to know it's illegal, even his friends will know it's illegal. But he hasn't cared anything about obeying our laws. He's a Muslim, and he just he's here for one other purpose, and that's to promote Islam and to cast down Christianity. So when I asked the Lord if we were to pray against this, that this is my words now, if we were to pray against the dream, not just this particular part of the dream, but the whole dream, he said yes. And he confirmed it with two heads. So I would like you to agree with us against the warning that's in this dream. Okay? So, they were here, in other words, recapping this, they were here in the beginning. Then, this hasn't happened yet, but they went back home. And they went back home in September. And now he's going to give some more part of this dream. So we left Washington and came back to Tennessee, and we were staying in this one place in a room next to where we have the meetings in a new place. So, okay, that hasn't happened yet. We're not in a new place. All right. Anna and I were sleeping, and she woke up and woke me up and said, "I hear people talking." So I got up and opened the door, and the UBM group was getting ready for the morning meeting in the dark. Okay, here's another thing you can pray about now, besides this. So, again, a recap. He started out in Tennessee, went back home, then came back, and this was again on his birthday because he came here on his birthday the first time. That's interesting. Okay, and the UBM morning meeting, our prayer meeting in the morning, was in the dark. So we would assume that this is a loss of electricity due to, what, earthquakes? EMP? Both of them, I believe, will cause a loss of electricity. But we have a threat of an EMP that I don't believe God wants, because I believe the dreams that we've had about EMPs coming seem to point out that the EMP brings martial law, which keeps Obama in office. So, nukes have turned up missing. We hear stories about the military overruling Obama, dropping one in the ocean, hiding another one, you know, when he was going to have a false flag attack. There seems to be a lot of people backing it up. I can't say for sure, but that's what appears to have happened before. So we need to pray down the EMP attack. As I believe I shared that with you when I shared the revelations about EMP attack, okay? It may not come from what we would normally call an enemy. So we just come against that in the name of Jesus Christ. We forbid an EMP attack. We forbid any of the logistics to work. We command that the revelation of this be known throughout the world, that this is a false flag attempt, that they are planning on doing this, and thank you, Father, for revealing it so that they can't do it. And, of course, we know that he is trying to start a war with Russia and falsely blaming them for what he and his administration and the DNC has done. That's crazy. Why anybody doesn't see through that is just beyond me. It's crazy. And they don't care how many people they kill, because no war with Russia, you're going to come off with not losing an awful lot of people, you know. And the latest thing is he federalized the election so he can do the same thing, you know, put the election aside. So we forbid that too in the name of Jesus. I ask that the fear of God be all over the people, that they will not go along with this thing. Brother Bill, by the way, Bill Steenland had a dream just a little while back that the military was going to put Donald Trump in there. The military, as you know, does not believe in him, and they know what he's done. They know he hates the military. They know he's taken out most of the very honorable leadership of the military. They know all about him. It was a coup, right? And anyway, his attempt to federalize the election, we cast down in the name of Jesus Christ. I know they say he's done it already. Don't matter. The Lord can fix that. He can just take it down, right? And, of course, that's all for the same reason. Stay in office. Stay in power. Big ego. So let us cast this down in Jesus' name. Amen? So I said, who's there? But then I realized it was the group and closed the door and got dressed, and so did my wife, and then they came out, right? It was light now as we came into the meeting. In other words, daylight was now. We didn't have the lights, but we had daylight. And that happens quite often because we meet early in the morning, so we come in the dark and it becomes daylight. And it was light now as we come into the meeting, during which we all had breakfast. We've had breakfast too sometimes in the meeting, morning meeting. Then Anna and I went to this old school building, and we went to see Anna's mother, who isn't her mother in real life. And she had red hair. Well, you know, sometimes God uses old sayings or thoughts that people have. There's a reputation that people with red hair have a fiery attitude, you know. I don't know if it's always true. I've seen a few times that it was, but it's not always true. But she had red hair. Our spiritual mother is the apostate church. And we must be born of that mother. We must come out of her, right? So, and of course, she is not his natural mother, right? Or Anna's natural mother. We went up to the room where her mother was teaching. Ah. And we knew that she was factious. Well, another term for faction is denominations, don't you know? You know, divisions, strifes, works of the flesh, Paul called it, right? Anna thought that she could talk some sense into her mother, but she wouldn't listen. I got angry, and I told Anna, "We are leaving." So we left the room and went downstairs. We were going to visit President-elect Donald Trump. So, now, here's a governmental aspect of the faction, and we know that our mother in that regard is America, and we were born here, most of us, and if you're not born here, so well, you still have a mother, right? And so now he's seeing the political aspect of the faction here, President-elect Donald Trump, but there were two bodyguards, and I didn't want to mess with being searched. Anna asked the guard how fast they searched someone, and he said, about 16 seconds, which I thought was fast in the dream. And they challenged Anna to see how fast she was, but she was not very fast in searching someone, I'm supposing. Then we knew that the building was going to collapse. And we started to get all the children out of the building. Well, the children could be not physical children, but people. And Michael Hare saw one of the Trump Towers collapse. All he knew was it was a Trump Tower, and it collapsed. And he said it was as if it was pulled. In other words, falling straight down, which is totally unusual. And it can't be done in any other way than, you know, controlled demolition. So we should pray against this and bind it, whatever this means. You know, this is two of them now in a row that we've had. of the Trump Tower collapsing. It could represent, you know, all of his business. It could represent himself, himself in his building. What could it represent? It's a destruction of Donald Trump's business and possibly life, right? So we should bind it. Father, in the name of Jesus, we do bind it. Recently, I heard about a plot that seemed like it had to do with a tunnel going under Trump Towers and a mini nuke bringing it down. I don't know why I heard that or where I read that. I don't remember, but it was something like that. So we bind this in the name of Jesus. We forbid it. We know they're very proficient at making tunnels now. They can make go about 7 miles a day, from what I've heard, with their tunnel-making machines. And they can certainly put little nukes underneath buildings. But we bind whatever it is, however it turns out, whatever it represents, we bind it in the name of Jesus Christ. And what we bind on earth is bound in heaven. Right, saints? Amen. And as we were going through the rooms, I noticed that a lot of the troubled kids were left. So I gathered them up. And I noticed that a troubled child was in Anna's mother's classroom. Well, teachings of the worldly church leave God's people in harm's way, because they do not know of faith and authority and deliverance from the curse by Jesus. They don't understand it. And, of course, this is causes many of them to pass off the scene before is necessary, because the Lord said, "My people are destroyed for lack of understanding." Right? I knew that her mother left the child there on purpose. So I grabbed the child, but it didn't want to come with us. So they do, on purpose, they leave their children in harm's way. On purpose. They don't teach them, on purpose, the things that I spoke about there. The deliverance from the curse that Jesus gave us. The fact that the Lord can protect you and deliver you, they don't understand that. And they don't have faith. They don't know how to use faith, and they don't believe it. They call it name it, claim it, when you do exactly what Jesus said in Mark 11:24. When you pray, believe you have received, and you shall have it. They think that's nothing. They ignore the Scriptures, and their idolatry with their religion, it's done to them on purpose. So the mother left the child there on purpose. So I grabbed the child, but it didn't want to come with us. I still held the child, and I got it out of the building with the rest of the children. And I knew that everybody was out of the building, and I turned around and looked at the building, and it collapsed, but not all of it. So I don't know what that means. I knew that the building collapsed because of the faction. Well, this factious administration is trying to take Donald Trump down, so we pray against it, and we bind it, right? In the name of Jesus, Father, whatever this represents, we cast it down, we forbid it. The brethren out there are agreeing with me, and you said if any two of you agree as touching anything, it shall be done by our Father. So we just forbid it in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for your salvation and your deliverance for this man and everybody around him that's going to be helpful in what you're going to, the changes you're going to make in this world. And this was the end of the dream, a pretty awesome dream. Matthew said, I didn't ask for a verse specifically for the dream, but the morning verse that I got that morning, remember he had a dream that he went out into the meeting there, the verse that he got that morning went with it. I also didn't know about the question we were supposed to ask until right before I got the verses. What he means was, lots of times we formulate a question that we want to ask God about, and then we ask Him for the verse for it, and we get the verses for it. Okay? So the question we were asking that morning was, we were asking the Lord for verses to answer. Is the destruction of D.C. happening soon, spiritual, or is it a physical thing to come? Now, I know it's spiritual, but what I'm not able to prove very well is it physical, right? We do have prophecies, and the prophets thought that what they received was physical, but we'll see, okay? Anyway, that's what we were talking about. Trump Tower's in New York, but the same quake will affect both. The New York-Alabama fault line goes all the way up through D.C. In fact, we know right where it goes because it cracked the Washington Monument. And it went to the White House and the Jefferson Memorial. It did some damage there, so we know exactly where the fault line is. And it was a record, I believe it was a 5.4 earthquake for the East Coast. And it came right after Sandy went to California, which is, in her dream, she was in California when the East Coast earthquake happened. But we know that this was a premonition of a much larger earthquake because she saw the damage that the larger earthquake did. And we're still looking for that earthquake to come. So it's pretty well got a good foundation. I mean, the crack has already shown us where it is and everything, you know. So I wouldn't doubt that this will happen again on a larger scale. And so here are the verses that he got that morning after the dream. Joel 2:9-11. And of course it's talking about that enemy army coming against God's people. They leap upon the city, they run upon the wall, they climb up into the houses, they enter in at the windows like a thief. The earth quaketh before them. There it is, right there. And the heavens tremble. The sun and the moon are darkened. And the stars withdraw their shining. And the Lord uttereth His voice before His army, for His camp is very great. For He is strong that executeth His word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. And who can abide it? Now we know there's a day of the Lord, a judgment at the end of the man-child's time of tribulation. And there's a day of the Lord, it's the end of the church's time of the tribulation. So the first one's more spiritual than the second one even. Less known. But anyway, we're coming to these, I believe, a very terrible time just before the tribulation. Earthquakes, so on and so forth. When they, on the 15th, they're supposed to, they call this a peace conference. Land for peace conference is what it is. And they'll either vote on it right there, but they said they're going to vote on the 17th. I don't believe them. They always put things off. They won't put people off, right? But anyway, their plan is to get through with this before the inauguration because after Trump goes in, they could never do this. And Trump has already threatened to pull out of the UN if they do this. And I hope he does. Because the UN has nothing good for the United States. It's wanting to drag the United States down on the level of the rest of the world, which is pagan. So let the people that don't like the United States go somewhere else. all those actresses and actors and people like that that said if Trump got in there, they're going to leave. Well, they all lied. Just like the rest of factious people do. They always lie. So, of course, this faction army was conquered by the Lord in Joel there because God's people cried out to him. And he drove it into the eastern and the western sea. Exactly what Donald Trump plans to do with the illegal aliens. invited in by Obama. And the morning of the 6th, I asked a new question for the brethren to ask when they got their morning verses. Is D.C. going to physically fall in an earthquake? And this evening of the 6th, I received this dream from Matt. This dream from Matt. So, in a way, you can look at part of this dream, this part right here, this verse in particular, as saying something concerning that. Okay. It's interesting how the Lord confirms things, awesome things, you know. He's just an amazing Savior. He can talk to us in so many ways. Well, brethren, don't let dreams of apparent reversals turn you away from the faith of what God wants to do. What He's shown you, He wants to do. Don't let those dreams turn you away. Nor previous dreams that we had of something that was going to happen, which have been changed because God answered prayer. Okay, so people go back and they hold on to those, even though we have examples in the scriptures where God answered prayers and prophecies didn't come to pass and dreams and visions didn't come to pass because God answered prayers. So, don't let dreams of apparent reversals turn you away from the faith of what God wants to do. You know, these warnings are so you will pray down the works of Satan through his vessels that oppose God's will, right? They're not to let Satan steal the promises from your heart. In other words, this thing that talks about this delay may go across something you've already heard from the Lord about the inauguration coming to pass. Who knows? So don't take the warning threat as a prophecy of something that must come to pass. Or you'll give up on the prize, right? I asked God for a word concerning this dream, and I got Psalm 50:18-19. And he said, when thou sawest a thief, thou consentest with him. Who is the thief? Who is the thief that comes to steal the seed which was sown in your heart? The devil. Don't let him steal it. Don't let him use a dream or a vision in a letter form to, just like he uses the word, to cause you to turn away from what God wants to do. Okay? When thou sawest a thief, thou consentest with. Don't consent with the thief. Don't give in to every dream because some of them are just warnings so that you will pray it down, right? And thou hast been partakers with adulterers. In other words, you're receiving a seed that don't come from God. Right? Who is the husband? Thou givest thy mouth to evil. In other words, when you agree with the dream in the letter, when it's only meant to be a warning, and you make it a prophecy, you're enabling the devil to do what he wants to do. When actually God gives this to you so that you stop the devil from doing what he wants to do. I hope you're catching me. You know, in Jonah and Amos's words and others, there was a threat and a warning that did not come to pass because of prayers. in Jonah's time, of course, in 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. I saw America as Nineveh. And that was back in pre-2000. And I started telling everybody, no, the Lord told me Jonah's is what's going to happen. He preached in 40 days, and it didn't come to pass because the people repented. And I might say people that are important repent, but the world is never going to repent. The whole world is never going to repent. But the chosen people, the people of the kingdom, can. And a lot of people did before 2000. They did some repentance, and they did some praying, and they prayed against these things, and God put it down. And Amos's word, too. God spoke judgment, and Amos said, oh, Jacob is small, how shall he stand? And the Lord reneged. He went to the Lord with his petition, and the Lord backed away from that judgment. So, you see, we have these examples in the Scriptures, and people tend to ignore them, and they think everything that doesn't come to pass is a false prophecy. If you have a dream that doesn't come to pass, it's a false prophecy. Because these people don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. Lots of dreams don't come to pass, thank God. Because people saw that, they cried out to the Lord, and they exercised their faith, or exercised their authority, and it didn't happen. I've had people come to me just trembling over a dream. And I just tell them very simply, well, this is not really according to God's will. I mean, pray against it. Just cast it down. Don't believe it. Don't receive it. See, that's seeing a thief and consenting with him. Yeah, devil, I know you're trying to steal my faith away from me, but I'm going to let you do it anyway. So, obviously now we should confess our sins so we're in right standing with God and believe in the sacrifice of Jesus and then exercise our authority to bring down plots of the enemy. Amen? Now, the Lord's going to send a lot of dreams, and some of them are going to be just warnings against the things that are coming. And you will notice that even though they were given by very good people and who've had good dreams before, that some of them don't come to pass. And it's not because they're false prophets. It's because God didn't want them to. He gave them as a warning. Amen. Well, we thank you, Father, so much for giving us this blessed time to do this warfare so we can bring in this new kingdom here. So I'm going to share this with you briefly, and then I may talk to you about it more in detail. One of Paul's prayers, okay? Ephesians 1. In 15. And the first thing that God did was He gave us a foundation for this prayer in verse 3. He said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Now, some people just want fleshly blessings, just to bless their old flesh, you know. But God knows what's a good spiritual blessing. That'll be a blessing to your spiritual man. And sometimes that is blessing your body, not necessarily your flesh, which is the mind to always serve the body, right? So this is a good thing. And he goes on down to talk about the adoption of sons and that these promises are according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound towards you or us in all wisdom and prudence, making known unto us the mystery of His will. Oh, praise God. So His will sometimes is a mystery. And that's why we need to ask the Lord for truth. Ask Him for truth. Lord, I want to know. What is going to happen? Show me. Remember, I did that as a very young Christian about the rapture. I wanted to know about the rapture because it seemed like the church was divided over it, not furiously fighting over it, but they just had differences of opinion, and they all seemed to have scriptures. And so I prayed diligently, Lord, send truth. I want to know the truth. I want to know the truth. And one day the Lord just poured it out into my head like I didn't even know He was capable of doing. As He just lined all the scriptures up and showed me the truth about the rapture. So if you ask for wisdom, the Lord gives it liberally, according to James chapter 1, right? But don't be double-minded, He says, right? Or you're not going to receive anything from the Lord. So ask for wisdom. Ask for truth. Ask to know about the truth of what is coming. Now, if you're in rebellion against God, don't ask for the truth, because you might get deceived. Because God's not out to bless somebody that's in willful rebellion against Him. They don't even have a sacrifice. Hebrews 10:26. So, first of all, clean up your life, confess your sins, and then ask God for anything and all things, right? So now I'm going to jump over to this Ephesians 1:15 on down. Prayer, which is such a powerful prayer. For this cause I also, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which is among you, and the love which you show towards all the saints. Now, this is a good foundation for answered prayer. Notice who he's talking to. People who have faith, and people who have love, and exercise love towards the brethren. Now, if you don't exercise love towards the brethren, don't expect you're going to get answers to prayer. You know, obviously not. Whatsoever you've done to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me, the Lord said. You persecute the Lord. So if you don't exercise love, you may think you have a right to be bitter and unforgiving and critical of a brother or sister. If you do, don't expect to get answers to your prayers. Notice what he's saying. These people who have faith and exercise faith, without faith it's impossible to be well-pleasing unto God, you know. And so also they act and live in love towards all the saints. All the saints, even the least of these my brethren. Okay, so for these people, Paul says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Awesome. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Now, we can ask God for wisdom and revelation. We should do it about these things. Ask Him to give us, should we do it, and God sends dreams and visions and things, and which we're very thankful for. So, he prays that God would give them a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. So this is more than just anything that you could ask for wisdom and knowledge about. It's for God Himself, the knowledge of Him, you know. We want to know you, Jesus. We want to know all about you, Lord. We study your word in order to know who you are and what you will do. And what displeases you, and what we need to repent of, and what sin is. We study your word for these reasons, Lord, because we want to be well-pleasing unto you. We want that gift, Lord, and we ask you for it in the name of Jesus. But give us this wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, Lord. We don't just want your things, as some Christians do. We want you. We love you. Having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Now, this is very important. A calling here means an invitation. An invitation to what? Well, you don't know unless you read the scriptures, right? unless you want to know what you've been invited to partake of, right? Well, it's all the benefits of the kingdom, which are listed in the scriptures. You can't find them in one spot. But if you're diligent enough and you love him enough and you want to know enough about him who wrote the scriptures, then you'll seek after and find all these wonderful nuggets that he's hidden in there for you, promises that he's put there for you, that will pop up at the right time when you need them, right? So, we need, Father, we need our heart to be enlightened so that we know what is this hope or this firm expectation of your calling. What do we get along with this calling? What does this calling lead us to? And then the verse says, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Wow. So this is part of this calling. And the riches of the glory. And we know what the glory is. The glory is Jesus Christ. We behold in the mirror the glory of the Lord, and we're transformed into that same image from glory to glory from the Lord the Spirit. So we get this glory of Jesus living in us. It's his righteousness. It's his purity. It's his holiness. It's who he is. It's his authority. It's his power. It's all these things that he is. He was given to us as a gift through the reconciliation. God made an exchange. His life for your life. Your life was nailed on the cross. His holy life was given to you. So this is his inheritance in the saints. Right? This glory. This is what God wants us to have, you see. And what the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. Do you know the exceeding greatness of his power? Do you believe that he can do much more than you even consider? Do you imagine that the miracles that are coming in this coming revival will be greater than anything that's ever happened on the face of the earth? Even Jesus said it would be greater. Greater works than these shall you do, because I go to the Father. Wow, this is great power. The exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. If we believe God can do anything, we're in good shape, because he will do anything. According to that working of the strength of his might. That working of the strength of his might. Lord, we ask you to fill us not only with that wisdom and knowledge, but also your power. We know it's your power that changes many people. Many people come to you that have lived all their lives maybe in apostate religion and never seen any power. But when they see that these things haven't passed away, it opens a whole new door to read the rest of the scriptures that they've been blinded to, Lord. They reconsider the real Jesus, since they know they've been lied to by their powerless leaders. Now they're discovering that, no, this didn't pass away with the apostles. What else did they lie to me about? So it just really just opens another door here. Glory be to God. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. So it's already done. He's given us the wisdom. He's given us the power. He's given us the glory. And it's already done. When he raised him from the dead. Because when he was raised from the dead, you were raised from the dead. Remember when you got in that baptism of water and you went down, you came up, you were united with him in the likeness of his death, burial, and resurrection. So then you got the resurrected Christ. And sad to say, we haven't been living that way, you know, that we have the resurrected Christ, his power, his glory, his wisdom in us. That's why we search the scriptures and say, I'll take that, I'll take that, I'll take that too. Right?
It's all mine.
And he raised him from the dead and made him to sit at his right hand in heavenly places. Remember what Ephesians 1 and 3 says. Heavenly places is abiding in Christ. The heavenly places in Christ. Abiding in Christ. And of course we abide in Christ first of all by faith. Because we believe what we see. We accept it. We believe it. We confess it. Even before it comes to pass, we accept it, we believe it, and we speak it, even before it comes to pass. And of course, speaking it is one of the ways that it does come to pass. So we are seated in heavenly places, in Christ, where every spiritual blessing is. Ephesians 1 and 3, right? Abiding in Christ is going to put you in touch with the blessings. Far above all rule and authority. Now that includes the devil and his kingdom and his puppets down here on the earth, right? Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. Okay, so that's why we can chain their leaders. And every name that is named. That's even broader. Not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And he put all in subjection under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. So, Jesus is the head of the body. But he put everything under the feet of the very lowest member of the body. This honor have all his saints, as we read in Psalm 149. You know what? Every child of God has this authority, and they don't know it. They haven't read their Bible, and their leaders lied to them. And it passed away with the apostles. I can't find a verse that says that, but that's okay. And gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all and all. All in all. Jesus wants to be all in all of us, right? And, of course, that's the process of letting the Word go into us and recreate him in us, right? The more of the Word you accept, the more of Jesus you accept. Some people say go to an altar and accept Jesus. It doesn't say that in the Bible. It says repent and believe. This is how you accept Jesus. You repent and you believe. When you read the Bible, repent and believe it. Don't care what your religion, don't care what your preacher says, don't care about any of that. This is the rule. This is the book God gave. Don't pay attention to men. Pay attention to God. Amen? So, Jesus is the head, we're the body, and he put all this under the feet of the body, the very lowest member of the body. We have authority. It sounds kind of like what Jesus said when he said, if any two of you agree as touching anything, it shall be done by our Father. Or, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them, and you shall have them. Or, as the Father sent me, so send I you. Wow, that's a lot of authority, right? So, we have to take this seriously when we see things going on in the world that are not for the good of the world, or for the good of the saints, or for the good of anybody. We need to stand up. We're the salt of the earth. If the salt has lost its savor, it's good for nothing but to be cast under the feet of men. And that's what happens when these dead religions get out there and they tangle with the world and they got no authority and they don't know how to wrestle with principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and they don't do any spiritual warfare. All they do is submit to the devil in the world. They get trampled under the feet of men because there's no salt. Salt, of course, is a preservative. We've been put here to not only preserve ourselves, but the world around us. So we're making warfare here against the principalities and powers that want to rule through the most wicked of people that have ever been in our government. Can't you imagine that the things that we've seen here tell us this? That we can change things? Well, Father, we want to be your vessels of change. We want to be salt in this world. Lord, give us a firm foundation in your word, understanding and knowledge, and yes, the glory of God manifested in us, because all of the gift of Jesus Christ has been given unto us. His wisdom, his knowledge, his glory, his holiness, his authority. And what we bind on earth is bound in heaven, because we've searched the scriptures and we have faith in the real Jesus, not the Jesus of the religions. And we believe that he's given us authority and that we're in rebellion if we don't exercise it. So thank you, Lord, for filling us with faith, for filling us with the love of the brethren, and for standing up for Jesus in this world. Thank you so much, Father. Thank you so much. Lord, bless all the brethren out there to pray this revelation that we shared today. To pray it, do spiritual warfare against the enemy, and cast it all down. Many things we've mentioned here today, Lord, that you've warned us about. EMPs, war with Russia, federalizing the vote. Oh, just many things here. Taking down Trump, taking down his building, whatever. Lord, we just cast all this garbage down in the name of Jesus. We thank you for utter and complete victory in Jesus' name. And we praise you and we thank you for it, Lord. Oh, glory be to God. Praise you and thank you, Lord. Well, okay, saints, I thank you so much for joining me today. God bless you and keep you. And don't forget to do spiritual warfare. This is a very, very important time in history for you to take that authority that he says you have and do something with it. Your foot is on the neck of this deceitful government. Let's cast it down. Let's make sure the whole world understands who these people are, so that they're so ashamed to stick their head up out of their hole that they just will give in and give out, right? Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen.